It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast, episode 317, and I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I, we're excited about spring football. We talk about early thoughts after 2 days of practice. There's so much after only 2 days. Of course, the big news right now is hoops. We talk about the exciting win over St. Mary's, followed by the disappointment against the Gonzaga juggernaut. Also on the show, casting the Ziggy movie, and Fred Warner is fast. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. Find this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout, and listen to us right now. So Matt, I think this is the first time we've ever done this. 7 years, 317 episodes. I don't think we've ever done it where we start recording before a game, and then we're going to record the rest of this after the game.
Yeah, this is a first. We rarely have firsts anymore at all, as you just said.
No, we don't, because both of us are old and we've been doing this a long time. Because you're old.
Yeah, I'm getting older.
You're getting older. Yeah, of course, this is when you say, not as old as you, buddy.
Yeah, everybody knows you're old.
And then I say, not as old as Don. So, you know.
Nobody's as old as Don.
I don't know anybody that old. Anyway, Matt, last time we talked about the Ziggy movie, and we got some questions about the Ziggy movie.
Of course we did. Everybody wants to know what's going on with the Ziggy movie.
All right, so our first tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
Comes from Jeremy Ashton off of the good old email. He says, who should play Ziggy in the movie? He suggests Chadwick Boseman or Michael B. Jordan, who were both in Black Panther, which you've finally seen.
Yes.
And?
Awesome.
It was a really good movie.
It was really good. Easily, I think, you know, when you talked about where it would fit in the draft, you know, you're looking at the top three probably in the Marvel Universe.
It's up there. Yeah, it very
well
could
be. Top five?
I need to see it a second time, but, you know, because I see all these movies a bunch. But yeah, top five for sure. Top three maybe. It had a lot of good things going on. But Matt, one thing it didn't have going on in it is Ziggy. Neither of those guys are Ziggy. Like Chadwick Boseman's too. He's way too. That's not Boseman. What's his last name?
I would have pronounced him Boseman.
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 He's too small. And Michael B. Jordan, I don't think is right.
I think Michael B. Jordan's too small.
I think you go.
If
with
I had to
no
pick
name.
Between those two, I take Chadwick though.
As an actor, yes. I think you find somebody new to play a role like that.
Right? Yeah. See, that's tough though. Like, I always feel like that never goes well either.
What are you talking about? The guy in The Blind Side wasn't anybody you'd ever heard of.
Yeah, and I didn't love the way that character was portrayed in
well,
The Blind Side.
Wasn't his fault. I mean, I'd never heard of Mark Wahlberg when he did that Eagles movie.
Wait a minute.
I had heard of him. Well, what about, let's think of other sports. Hey, Chadwick got his break in 42. I never heard of him, and he played Jackie Robinson.
He did a good job there. He did
fantastic.
A good job there.
Really good movie. I think you go with somebody you haven't heard of.
But it's got to be a tall guy though, right? I mean,
yeah, you need somebody tall and big, right? And neither, I don't know how big Michael B. Jordan is, but Chadwick is short. He was every time he fought anybody in that movie, he was like the shorter guy.
So, and you wonder if it was like the Sylvester Stallone thing, you know, where they're like standing on a box.
Well, let's find out how tall he is. Chadwick Boseman height. Maybe I'm
what
wrong.
What about, I don't know.
6 feet tall, so he's not short. Michael B. Jordan's only 6 feet. I swear in their fight scenes, they had Jordan bigger. Huh. I must be just bad memory. And by the way, Chadwick is 40, so I don't think he can play. I'm not sure he can play Ziggy at this point.
They'd figure it out. They can make that stuff work.
Michael B. Jordan's only 31. Huh. Interesting. I thought maybe if you're going to pick somebody out of that movie, I think it was Winston Duke, the guy that plays like the ape chieftain.
Oh, yeah, he'd be good. How tall is he?
He's 6'4". He's a big dude.
Now you're talking.
I think, you know, that's the one that came to my mind. And quite frankly, the one that plays the woman that plays the general, she could do it.
She was awesome, by the way.
Oh,
they need to keep that character. That
amazing.
That character needs to come over to the other movies.
Oh, totally. That character needs to be an Avenger.
Yes.
That was
very well done.
She was
and
amazing.
I think you also bring the sister over and put her in the Avengers.
Yeah, you bet.
Because you got to bring all that tech now.
She's
all that stuff
the tech.
Has got to come. All
yeah.
that stuff has got to come, and she's yeah. the only one who knows it.
That's right. Well, he's going to be the leader of the Avengers, right? I mean, Robert Downey Jr.'s contract is pretty much up. Chris Evans has said he wants out to do other things. I think you've got your guy, right? You've got your guy. He's the leader of the Avengers for the next four movies or whatever. Anyway, all right, Matt. John Harrison on Twitter, that's at Toffee Tech, he says, who plays Bronco and the other coaches in the Ziggy movie? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag climb on in. Matt, who plays Bronco?
I think you do it like Blindside. You bring Bronco in to do it.
No, you don't. Let's see. Best actors over 40. No, Hugh Jackman. Leonardo DiCaprio, probably not. Gerard Butler? The aforementioned Robert Downey Jr.?
Hey, I think I found Ziggy.
Who's Ziggy?
Jamal Duff.
Who's Jamal Duff? That sounds familiar.
So Jamal Duff actually played in the NFL. He's from San Diego State, so it's going to bother you, but he's 6'7", 200. He's 6'7", 285. He was in a Transformers movie, The Marine. He was in Thor.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That's the guy. He's the right size. He's got a little bit of experience under his belt, but he's not like a household name quite, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's been in the right kinds of... He's been in some movies. He's the guy.
Yeah, he was also in Dodgeball. I love that
yes.
movie. I shouldn't say that. Should I say that?
And he played it. He was a bouncer on an episode of This Is Us, apparently.
Well,
so,
who hasn't
but this
been?
Is, but this is the guy. That's the guy.
Nice. All right. There you go. I was also thinking for him, and this is totally typecasting. How about Kyle Chandler, who played the coach on Friday Night Lights, the TV show? He could totally be Bronco. Tell me he's not Bronco.
Yeah, he could be Bronco. I think you'd have to dye his hair, though.
Okay.
Is he willing to go blonde for the part is the question.
Oh, absolutely. He'd do it. Or John Hamm could play Bronco. Maybe he's too good looking. Is he too good looking to play Bronco?
Yeah, I wouldn't go John Hamm.
All right. And are you ready for my Dr. Robert and I? Are you ready?
Oh, who do you got?
The Rock.
Oh, The Rock's not old enough to be Dr. Robert and I.
I know, but I was thinking, could we take The Rock in 10 years?
I was actually thinking you could get The Rock and have him. He'd be somebody you could have him play Ziggy. He's the right size, but
yeah, but he's too old now.
He's way too old now.
He's older even than me. By the way, he looks a little bit better than I do.
He's in a little bit better shape.
He's in a shape.
Let's just call that. You're in a shape. We're all in a shape. I guess.
Yeah, round is a shape. All right, Matt. Football time. All right. So spring football, we're in day two, okay? And so days one and two, blah, 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 we don't know anything, right? But here's the thing that's coming out of days one and day two, all right? Is discipline, all right? Now, you texted me a quote from, was from Bo Hodge, right?
Yeah.
From day one. So why don't you share that quote and maybe some of your insight with us?
So this obviously isn't going to be word for word, but basically, you know, they're doing the, you know, little video clip after practice, and they ask him about, you know, they're asking about the coaches and these things and how he feels about the new staff. And one of the questions that came out was something along the lines of, you know, obviously, you know, the record last year was unacceptable, and you must understand that. He's like, yeah, I get that. So what are the things that the team is going to be doing differently this year in order to, you know, recover from, you know, and get back into a record or performance that's acceptable for this kind of a program? And the first words out of his mouth were, get to meetings on time. Like, that seems like a bad sign to me. Like, if that's really what we're worried about here, then we had some real issues last year.
Yeah.
And then he had some conversation around doing the right things on the weekends. And I think we saw some of that, right? With, you know, not that there's anything wrong with Ultimate Frisbee per se, but
probably not in a moving car.
Well, or don't hide your drugs in Frisbees. But the other is, you know, then talking about eating the right things and those types of stuff. But to me, it feels like those kinds of things are kind of basic, you know, excuse the expression here, but that's the basic blocking and tackling kinds of things you need to be doing if you're going to be a successful program. But if that's really where we're at, I mean, that's,
you know,
it's not a good sign.
You know what's kind of disappointing to a certain extent? What's up with here's Bo Hodge, right? He's not LDS, right? Not connected to the program historically, right? And he's basically saying that these guys need to not be morons on the weekend.
Yeah, right? What is that telling us? Like, what's going on?
Like, the culture, which we heard a lot about, and I was hesitant to jump on that bandwagon only because it's hard to know. When you're losing, it's easy to say the culture's broken, right? There are these scapegoats like culture and work ethic and other things that may or may not be true, because some teams that lose, it's not a culture problem. It's a talent problem. It's a coaching problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's a X's and O's problem. So it's hard sometimes to know where those lines begin and end, right? But I can tell you, based on everything everyone is talking about in these first 2 days, is discipline. And I'm with you. That's a bad sign. The difference...
Yeah, it's not good.
The difference should be, well, the schemes, you know, Coach Grimes' scheme is way different, or the drills are way different, right? Not, we should show up to meetings on time. Do you know what Robert and I did? I saw him interviewed once about not showing up to meetings on time. Have you ever heard that quote or seen that
interview? No, I haven't.
He basically said, you don't play. Because Robert and I, he didn't like elaborate.
No, he doesn't suffer fools.
And basically it's like, well, then you don't play if you don't show up to the meeting or practice on time. And he's just looking at the reporter like, that's the dumbest question I've ever, you know, like, which he did all the time, by the way. But I just look at that and I go, there was a shift somewhere. And is it Sataki's fault? Well, ultimately, yes, because he's the head coach, right? But was the defense disciplined and the offense not? I don't know, right? You know, speaking of that, you know, but anyway, Matt, any other thoughts on days one and two? Well, besides, we didn't mention this. We talked about Bo Hodge. He's playing full out.
Yeah, he's in it.
No
he's
restrictions that we've been able to see.
He's playing.
So that's a fantastic sign. I said this last week. I'll say it again. He's the man to beat. I believe he's the most likely person to be starting game one.
Yeah, it looks, I think, and they talked, he was talking about being a leader on the team, you know, and all this. So I think you're right.
I think he's the most likely. I think it's him or that freshman kid, Zach, whatever his name is. What's his name?
Oh, some freshman kid.
Some freshman kid. Zach Wilson. See, I knew it was Zach. I knew he was from Saved by the Bell.
The other one that I saw the interview with that they interviewed was Critchlow. I didn't listen to that whole thing, but that was at least interesting to see.
I you know, and again, it's hard to know where all this lies, but Critchlow in his audition was not that impressive to me. We've talked about that. So again, though, was that coaching? Was that the system? You know, put him in Grimes' system and he shines? I don't know, right? But, you know, Zach Wilson and Bo Hodge to me, and you'll notice I'm not saying Tanner Mangum because I don't think he's going to be healthy.
We may not see Tanner Mangum in 2018.
Yes, we may not. We may not. So, did you just text me?
I did.
Oh, all right. You know we're talking to each other right now.
Yeah, but we're recording that conversation.
Oh, that's true. That's true. All right. So, Matt.
What, do you think we're just on the phone?
Wait a second. People listen to this?
Yes.
Oh, I thought we just did like our podcasting voices.
Trying to be discreet and you just kind of throw it out there.
And answer. Well, I was discreet. I didn't read the text, quote unquote, live. So anyway, well, Matt, that's about all we've got so far. We're going to sign off for now, which will be instantaneous for the listeners. We're going to sign off. We're going to go watch the Gonzaga game, and then we're going to come back and talk about the Gonzaga game.
Does that sound like a plan? It's going to be awesome. Sounds like a plan to me. I'm on board.
And then we may also talk a little bit about some independence stuff.
Yes.
Along the lines of, because we got some tweet bag questions about independence.
Independence, to be or not to be? That is the question, isn't
it? That is the question. To go back to the Mountain West?
That's a tease, folks. That's what they call that in the biz.
What? You know what else I can say about going back to the Mountain West, Matt?
It's a terrible idea.
Over my dead body. And by the way, you know, here's the other tease. If you're a San Diego sports columnist and your first reaction to that is, I hate BYU and they shouldn't come back to the Mountain West Conference, that's the most San Diego State thing ever. It's beautiful. Yes. It's absolutely beautiful. I love it. They're still annoyed with us. You know, it could be 40 years from now, those guys will still hate our guts. It's fantastic. I love it,
which means we did it just right.
That's right. That's right. The rival, non-rival. All right. So Matt, quick prediction: BYU versus Gonzaga. We'll be back in like 30 seconds to talk about the result. Who wins?
I'm taking the Cougs, baby.
I'm taking the Cougs too. Why not? Let's go dancing.
Hey, I got my Pepperdine pick right. I'm on a roll.
That's right. You did get your Pepperdine pick right. It's all the other picks that I'm more worried about.
Anyway. I think I've done pretty well so far in this tournament.
Yeah, actually, you have done pretty well. You should have put some money down, buddy. Should have gone to Vegas.
I may or may not have put some money down. That's really none of your business.
Oh, okay. Is that what that text was about? All right. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Peace out.
Out.
So Matt, we're back.
Yeah, we are.
And I really enjoyed that first half.
First half showed so much promise.
Okay, first half until the last like 2 minutes.
Oh yeah, there's that part of the first half that wasn't as good, but
Matt,
come on, you can't have everything.
Matt, jeez. What I believe happened. Okay, so I believe combined TJ Hawes, Elijah Bryant, Yoeli Childs last night against St. Mary's played a combined 1,084 minutes. I believe that's true. I believe that's true. And they ran out of gas, man. You could just see it against a much deeper, better team. Matt, I was on Twitter, tweeted a bit during the game.
Ooh, that's usually a mistake.
Here's the thing. People are like calling for like, you know, if anybody's calling for Dave Rose to be fired, I just think they need to stop watching basketball. I think emotionally they've hit a point where they just probably need to take a year or two off.
Take a year or two off?
Yeah, just take it off. You just need to relax, pull back. Well, hey, my statement that they should do that is not even close to as ridiculous as fire Dave Rose.
Listen, the fire Dave Rose crowd is probably a little bit too far out in front of themselves. I do agree, but a year or two off is probably a little bit strong of a prescription to solve their problem.
Nah, it might actually not be enough. But that being said, it's been 3 years of not so great, right?
Yep.
And this year's offense was terrible and needs to be fixed. And the last piece, Matt, is we're just not deep enough. There's not enough good players on this team. Right? We've talked about that all year.
Yeah, and I think that's what you see here, right? Especially since success in college basketball really revolves around your ability to perform well in tournaments. And I know that, you know, you play a couple close games together every week, but it's not the same as trying to put a string together of two or three really solid games.
No, and, you know, it also, no matter what happens, assuming us and Gonzaga are in the same conference going forward, that's the team you're going to have to compete with. And yeah, that doesn't mean you're going to beat them every time. But you know, as tonight's game showed, we just don't have the horses to run with them. this, you know, this peak Gonzaga team, Matt. So let's go back to the St. Mary's game last night a little bit.
Oh, great. Isn't the phrase here rubbing salt in the wound?
No, this isn't rubbing salt in the wound. This is remembering the good times.
Okay. All right, that's fine. We can take that angle on it.
So Andre Hutchins on Facebook had this to ask. Last night's game against St. Mary's was one Cougar Nation has been waiting for a long time. Long, long time, actually, he says. Closing out a good team in crunch time, which happened. It's mm-hmm. like the Cougs grew up right in front of our eyes, which I agree, actually. I think it was a very, very good win for the program. With that said, has St. Mary's taken the mantle of most hated team in the West Coast Conference, equivalent to San Diego State from the Mountain West? And who were you most excited to see graduate, Tilavadova or Hermanson? Hashtag climb on in the face bag. Matt, let's take those each apart a little bit. Have they taken the mantle of most hated team? Didn't they already have that mantle?
Yeah, I don't know who we hated more than St. Mary's before that. I need Andre to clarify this.
Yeah, so they're it. And are they equivalent of San Diego State? No, they're actually decent at sports. So they're not the equivalent.
And I don't know that you hate their fans the way you hate San Diego State fans, no?
I don't like San Diego State's coach and players, right?
Wow.
I mean,
this is like this is your Max Hall moment.
Sorry, St. Mary's. I don't like St. Mary's coach and players. We'll get to Bennett here in a second and his absolutely juvenile response to losing. But San Diego State, to me, was more about the fans. I actually often liked San Diego State players, right? Like, I love Marshall Faulk. I loved him when he played in college. I loved him when he played in the pros. I hated that I liked him, but I liked him, right? And Kawhi Leonard, same thing, right? Okay? I didn't root for him in San Diego State, but I do in the pros. I really like him. Have you ever rooted for Matthew Dellavedova ever in your life in any situation? Never.
No, not in a positive way.
Hermanson is in the same camp for me, though I would take... In that case, I still dislike Dellavedova more.
Way more. It's not even close for me.
And I don't like Hermanson, right? That is not an endorsement of Hermanson by any stretch of the imagination. Matt, Brian Taylor on Facebook asks, who's more of an arrogant snob, Bennett or Voldemort? Did you hear Bennett after the game couldn't give BYU any credit and was sour after getting... spanked by 13 points. Nice to humble Bennett a little bit. That you've seen it, I'm sure, the GIF, the video of Bennett like basically blowing past Rose.
Yeah.
Did you see that? I mean, come on, man. Come on. You just got outplayed. It happens. You know, I know they only schedule like 5 good teams a year, so it's hard to sometimes, and they don't travel outside of the state of California except when mandated by law. But, you know, I'm getting tired of Bennett. You know, he's annoying.
Well, here's a couple of things, right? One, I don't know if we're really going to choose which one we think is more of an arrogant snob or if we're just going to treat this as a rhetorical question, but I'm also saying Voldemort.
Yeah.
But the other thing, I think what's interesting about this thing with Bennett is, and the reason I take Voldemort more is, like, who, you're St. Mary's. Who are you? You know what I mean? Like, you're not any better than anybody else in this conference.
No. You're the team that gets the chance to lose to Gonzaga the most in the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay. You know.
You might be the best loser of us all.
Yes, yes. And on top of that, you know, and I think Bennett's a good coach and has put together a good program.
And he's got a nice haircut.
Yeah. Only you think that. I just sit there and go, you got to shake the other coach's hand at the end and look him in the eye and say good game. I don't have any, like, I don't understand what reason he would have to snub a guy like Dave Rose.
And you're supposed to be the professional here, right? Like,
yeah.
If we have these conversations around college kids, you know, saying or doing, that's one thing, right? I mean, because they're kids, but you're supposed to be an adult.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of classless. And Rose is such a class act, right? Like, it's not as if you might be able to say, you know, if Rose was a jerk, and everyone hates to lose to a jerk, right? And you might do that because I don't want to hear what stupid thing this guy's going to say to me, right? But Rose isn't that guy, right? So you know, I can't imagine what Bennett. And then the other part is when another team beats you, they beat you, right? You don't blame, as a coach, you don't blame the refs, and you certainly don't make it, kind of write it off as like luck, right? You know, like you get up and like tip your hat and say, well, you know, they beat us today and we didn't play well enough and they beat us, right? Not the whole like, you know, the lamp broke itself, right? You know, I don't know. Anyway, Matt.
The lamp broke itself? Is that a thing?
Yeah. It's,
you just make that
reflexive,
up right now.
Reflexive tense.
Did you just make up that particular example, or is that from something?
It's not really from something.
That didn't make any sense.
Hashtag hot rock bottom. I've hit hot rock bottom.
You have hit hot rock bottom. You have contracted hot rock bottom.
Hey.
You need to go see a doctor.
That's why we don't record after losses.
Hot rock bottom. I got the hot rock bottom.
Doctor, help me.
Maybe that's what Bennett's problem was. That's what Bennett's problem was, right? He needed to get back to the locker room because he was suffering from hot rock bottom.
That's right, he was. Right around his hashtags.
Looking a little chafed.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to go quite that far.
Sorry, Coach Rose. I got the hot rock bottom.
I got the hot rock bottom. I got to go.
I wonder if, like, away from the media and stuff, this is actually what it sounds like when he talks. I got the hot rock bottom. Like, if you look at his face, it could totally sound like.
Totally.
I got to go get my ointment. I hit the hot rock bottom.
If he was an animated character, you might voice him like that, right? No? Anyway, Matt, does the St. Mary's win change how – I know this is hard after we get absolutely dismantled.
There's no – I cannot objectively answer the question you're about to ask based on what I just witnessed.
But does the St. Mary's win change how you feel about this season? It doesn't for me, even last night. In the end, it's nice, but it's like winning a few games in the NIT. It's nice, but it doesn't change a whole lot for me. And the whole thing – well – they'll build on this for next year. You and I have talked about this a lot. A win at the end of the year, one game, does not mean that next year will be different. Now, I actually have a lot of hope for next year based on the youth of this team and who's coming back, and that I think will be deeper and better. But I'm not sitting here hanging on, well, they beat St. Mary's in the WCC tournament, so next year, watch out, world. It's Final Four.
Yeah. I think really what this win against St. Mary's, all it does for me is basically solidify where I thought we were going into this tournament. We're a team that can flash really great things, but can't sustain it or do it consistently yet.
Yeah, that's a good take there, buddy. Nice take there, bud. All right, so before we finish,
I'm not suffering from hot rock bottom.
You are not. Not that I know.
I got the hot rock bottom.
So Matt, we punted on a basketball question last week from Jeremy Ashton, and we're going to go back to it.
I see your mixed metaphors there.
Yes.
I see that. Yeah. Punted on a basketball question.
Well, you know, you've seen.
Hit a home run right through the uprights.
That's right. Jeremy Ashton said the University of Utah was included in the list of schools listed in the FBI report of their investigation into corruption of college basketball. Could the resulting sanctions against Utah, those are hypothetical, by the way, end up benefiting BYU? The easy answer to this question is, if there are big sanctions against Utah, the answer would be yes, right? I mean,
that's the easy answer.
I don't know that it's significant, though. I mean, it depended on if there was some top recruit who switched, maybe then it's significant. Otherwise, I would say probably not so much.
Right. And so if you look at that question now, you know, trying to peer into your crystal ball, hot rock bottom, and I had to save it somehow. I mean, you have to look at it and say, what are the odds that there is some big time recruit for whom it comes down to just these two schools and they choose BYU because of these sanctions, right? Or some big-time recruit that doesn't even consider Utah because some sanctions are levied against them and then they end up coming to BYU instead, whereas otherwise they would have likely chosen to go to BYU, right? So this isn't like, oh, some guy who is probably going to end up at BYU anyway chooses BYU. And I think the pool of potential people that are really getting into that situation is already pretty small. So I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know that it really is a game changer for the BYU program, other than, you know, the easy jokes and comments and other things that are going to get thrown around as rivalry banter.
Well, and here's the thing. We don't actually have any idea if Utah will have sanctions, right? Because for sanctions to exist, there must be something systematic or within the staff that did this, right? As opposed to a rogue agent who paid a player who played for Utah, but the coaching staff cannot be connected to it, right?
You kind of make it sound like an episode of Mission Impossible. A rogue agent.
A rogue
unconnected agent. To the basketball staff program.
That's right. But here's the bigger question, Matt, is this. This scandal, you know, and the funny part about it is, like, Chris Hill has one of the worst quotes in this ESPN article that Jeremy links us to ever. It's like, unethical agents have been an issue in college athletics, particularly men's basketball and football, for many years. By the way, those are the only two sports, not particularly. Like, I don't believe track and field has a ton of unethical agents running around paying people.
No, agents aren't the issue. It's Russian coaches that are the problem.
That's right. For many years, despite repeated educational efforts by the schools, BS, Hill. Absolute crap. Okay?
This is an education problem?
The schools don't want to fix the problem, okay? Like, seriously, stop it. Like, the schools
They just misunderstand it. We keep trying to educate them and explain it to them. They just misunderstand it. That's all.
The system is broken because, number one, the schools didn't want to do anything about it. Not really. I mean, and the flip side is you're not giving these players fair value for what they bring to the sport. Therefore, you open yourself up. Any economist the market, worth his salt.
The market is fixing itself because you won't do it right.
Correct. And you don't, a lot of people are going to get mad. We'll pay the players. You don't actually, to bring it back into focus, you don't actually have to pay them a lot of money.
Actually, I don't even think you have to pay them at all.
How about this?
You just let them make money.
Right.
Let them sign the shoe deal. Who cares? Sign the shoe deal. And, you know, and everybody, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the NBA wants to get into the high schools and all this stuff now and all this. You're like, well, I don't know. You're going to put these people in this pipeline and then their dreams are going to get shattered and they're going to have nothing but playing basketball, all this. This is also a way to fix that. Let those guys cash in now while they're good. Not all of them are going to go to the NBA. But you know what? Some of these guys will go to a college program, play 3 or 4 years, and maybe sign a really minor shoe deal that they're not going to get otherwise because they're not going to pan out in the NBA or whatever it is, right? I think you the whole paradigm shifts if you just let these guys – I mean, shoot, just even let them go get a job at Subway. I don't even care. Let them go make money. Well, just let them go make money. It's not hard.
And here's the other piece. Look at, over the next few weeks, all of the money that is generated for college basketball, right? And think about that for a second. And think about why it is that the players who generate the interest don't get a bigger portion of that pie.
Because right? amateurism but, or something.
But or something. You know, and again, like, I get it. The programs in college are bigger than the players in most cases, right? I mean, I don't know that very many BYU basketball players outside of Jimmer were probably worth paying a lot of money. You know, they're getting a scholarship and they're getting other benefits, non-monetary benefits that are worth something, right? All of us at work get non-monetary benefits too, right? Or get compensation that's not, you know, part of quote-unquote salary. And you know, you look at that and you go, players are getting some value. They're just not getting enough, and you leave yourself open to all of this garbage when you do that. And then, you know, Chris Hill and others come out and say, well, gosh, we tried to fix it. You didn't try to fix it.
No, your very statement about how you tried to fix it reveals that your attempt to do so was at best insincere.
Well, we pulled the guys into a room and told them, don't take that money. Don't take it. It's bad. I'm going to go cash my massive check. But you guys, don't take any money. And, you know, Krestowiak is going to make $3.4 million, right?
-80,000.
-80,000. And again,
and you just said his name.
I know, that's twice.
That's
dang
twice.
It. But
that's
my point
becoming a trend.
My point isn't that Voldemort does or doesn't deserve the money, right? Because coaches are extremely important in college athletics to winning. Okay, of course, in his case, I don't know that they've been doing a lot of winning. But, you know, the point is, man, I like taking shots at him. It feels good, man.
Then nobody's going to defend it. And if they do, if anybody tweets at us, anybody who feels a different way and tries to defend it in some type of response to Adam's comment, we're just not going to respond to it. It doesn't matter.
Well, and even if they did, it's like, if there is a University of Utah fan who listens to this podcast, that is enough to make fun of them, right?
Yes.
Like, why are you spending your time even listening to us? Like, you know, we are BYU homers, non-apologetic, right? Like, that's the whole, like, premise. That's our whole shtick is that. But anyway, Matt, I think this could bring down college athletics. And I'm not saying that to be, like, hyperbolic. I truly believe this scandal, you know, with the FBI, they could end up doing what the NCAA has refused to do, which is basically break the system down so they have to rebuild it. That being said, it's probably not the likely outcome.
But you know what? And I don't know if it needs to be that drastic, but this is not a hard problem to fix.
No.
And it doesn't have to cost the universities any money.
None.
And so I just don't understand why we can't all just sit back and say we are protecting something just for the sake of protecting it. It's not an ideal. This isn't a moral issue. There's nothing morally wrong with a shoe company paying a kid to wear their shoes while he's out on a basketball court.
Or like, the local sandwich joint in a college town paying the kid to be on a picture in the window.
Yeah,
right?
There's nothing morally wrong about that.
I mean, forget about the shoe deals for a second, which would be big for some players, right? But every college town, every college, they'd pay these kids a little bit of money to be, you know, on the local sandwich shop or, you know, BYU Creamery. Maybe that's a bad example because it's part of the university. You know, but do they still have, what's that? What was that place called? The yogurt place?
Was that
a yogurt place at BYU when we were there?
The Creamery.
No, like a frozen yogurt place that had subs. Why can't I think of it?
Frozen yogurt place that had subs? What are you talking about?
Yeah, they were all over the place. Anyway.
A frozen yogurt place that also sold subs?
Yeah.
This is a crazy tangent. I have no idea. I have no idea what you're talking about. All right. Were at BYU for not – we didn't entirely overlap, obviously.
But we overlapped a lot.
You're extremely old. But we overlapped a pretty good deal.
Yeah. I'm not that old, buddy.
The sub place I remember eating that I really liked was Gandolfo's. I don't know
Gandolfo's was good. I don't think
it's
there
anymore. All
those
sandwiches are ridiculous.
I think it's gone.
The one downtown is gone. But it became a chain after all that, and they opened up a whole bunch of stores that I think are still open in some places. But the one downtown that we used to go to,
yeah.
That was the one. Yeah, it's that they're not operating out of there anymore. Sad.
That is frozen yogurt in Provo,
circa 1990.
Well, it still may be there.
Nothing is still there.
Nothing is still there. I'm too old for anything.
The dorms we lived in aren't there anymore.
That's
I mean,
true.
Nothing is still there.
It's so sad. So sad. Whatever I'm thinking of is not there anymore. Somebody's going to help me out. Listeners, help me out. Anyway, Matt, moving past frozen yogurt, let's talk about independence. We'll close on some independent stuff. Oh, and by the way, Fred Warner, I forgot to mention this. We didn't do a Cougars in the News here at the beginning, but Fred Warner looked great at the combine.
Killing it.
Fast, athletic. I mean, all the things we already knew that a lot of NFL scouts who maybe didn't watch BYU football this year because it was kind of painful, they saw, you know, a future NFL starting linebacker, I think, at the combine. So good job, Fred Warner. Good job. Good job there, you bud. So Matt, Johnny Ashton asks us this. This is one from last week we didn't get to. Would you prefer BYU joining a new best of G5 conference over independence? What schools would be in that conference? Now, a lot of this comes out of the fact that last week the Mountain West Conference and Hairman came out and said that Gonzaga was going to potentially join. Okay. And by the way, if I'm Mark Few, I want to punch Thompson in the face. Right? Like, why is he doing that in public?
Because he's crazy.
I mean, if you're Gonzaga, you're like, thanks a lot, dude. Like, real classy, bud. But that's kind of par for the course. And then, of course, rumors that BYU would follow Gonzaga as a basketball-only member to the Mountain West. So before we answer Johnny's question about a best of G5, Matt, for or against BYU to the Mountain West as basketball-only?
Against.
Against.
But if Gonzaga goes,
you got to go somewhere. You're not going to stay.
You can't stay in the West Coast.
Get to the tournament
every single year, which is what they've done. But you know what? So they just clinched their 20th consecutive tourney bid or 18th consecutive bid or something.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think it's 20 times in, but 18 in a row. I don't know what it is. Something like that. But if they move to the Mountain West, I mean, that streak will get broken. They understand that, right? You know, I saw a tweet tonight. Somebody said, hey, to contend with Gonzaga every single year, right, you've got to be a top 10 program to do that. And there's not a lot of schools that could do that. But is that who Gonzaga remains if they move to the Mountain West Conference?
Based on the last three or four seasons, yes, I think they do. I guess I'll disagree. Based on the talent they've had on their rosters. And the Mountain West isn't the conference it was when we left it on basketball. They don't have the depth and quality that they did. I mean, it's still a better overall conference than the West Coast because the bottom third or half is not nearly as bad, right?
Yeah, but you know what? If Gonzaga loses, if BYU beats Gonzaga tonight,
yes,
okay, that is the lead story as far as who's getting into the tournament and who punched their ticket at their conference tournament. That becomes the lead story. It's bigger than Michigan. It's bigger than any of these other stories. If BYU beats Gonzaga, now you fast forward 2 years, you put Gonzaga in the Mountain West Conference, and they don't win their tournament, and somebody else gets in. Is it the story?
No, it is not, because the Mountain West Conference would typically have one or two more teams going in than the West Coast Conference.
So maybe you don't have to win the conference, right? Like with West Coast Conference, you need to win the conference, right? So, but I don't think they stay this.
I definitely agree with that they would not win it every year. You know, you've got this particular year, for example, a tournament that has Nevada and say Boise State in it, it is a lot harder to win than a tournament. Kind of, because St. Mary's was good enough this year. But you know what I'm saying? Like in most years, that's going to be a much tougher tournament to win. So that means you're just not going to get in there as often, and you won't be as dominant. And I mean automatically, like Gonzaga could have lost in the first round of Mountain West tournament, and they're still, I mean, the West Coast Conference tournament, and they're still getting in, right? It's not like they were ever in any danger of not making the tournament based on the NCAA tournament, based on the West Coast Conference tournament results. Anyway, am I just mumbling? Or we just agree?
I think we just kind of disagree on what the benefit would be for them.
All right, so anyway, Johnny asks us, here's his proposed conference, Matt. Okay, are you ready for his conference?
What do we got?
BYU, Boise State, Air Force, Toledo, Memphis, Navy, Houston, Cincinnati, Central Florida, and he can't come up with a 10th team. You could do South Florida. You could do USF. You could do Colorado State.
Colorado State would be decent just because geographically that would be helpful for the Air Force Academy.
You'd have some natural rivals. Maybe somebody in Elson, Texas for Houston. I don't know. SMU or somebody. You should leave independence until it's not to go to a non-Power 5 conference until it's economically the right decision to do. If they do end up leaving independence and not go to a Power 5 conference, a conference like this, a newly formed best of conference, to me, is the best case scenario.
Yes.
You know, so I'm with you, Johnny. But I just don't think at this time that there's any incentive for any of these people to do this.
No, for the other schools on this list don't really have an incentive to leave their current conference affiliation.
Maybe you, for some of these folks, you get a better TV deal than current because BYU and Boise are in the conference, right? I don't know that that's true for the American conference teams in here, but it's probably true for Toledo and Air Force, right?
And I don't know that this lineup increases anybody's odds here of getting into a playoff.
Okay, so Don, our brother, asks us a similar question. How do you feel about joining the American Conference in all sports but football? Do your feelings change if Gonzaga comes along? Hashtag never Mountain West Conference. So we'll agree with Don on the hashtag. Matt, how do you feel about joining the American Conference in all sports but football?
I'd be all in on that. Even without Gonzaga, I would be all in. I am, you know, as a fan, if I kind of blend these two questions for just a second, as a fan, I would prefer BYU joining this best of G5 schools conference over independence as a fan, because there's stuff about being in a conference that is fun. But I understand from running a program standpoint that it just, there's really no incentive to do that, right? You're going to make less money. It doesn't increase your chances of getting into a college football playoff. Right.
Right.
But I think there are some things, advantages about being in a conference that as a fan are fun for me. Right.
Yeah.
So, but if you're going to take all of your non-football sports and put them in a conference, and you're telling me I can choose essentially the West Coast Conference or the American Conference, that's not even a.
Yeah.
It's not even a contest for me. I take American all day long.
The problem is every other sport but men's basketball. You put us in the American Conference, and by the way, Gonzaga's not joining the American Conference. Think about the travel for a second for Gonzaga.
But if you want to talk about it in reality, right? I mean, this isn't.
Fair, but it kind of is because people are talking about the possibility. I think unless Boise goes with us, you know, and we have a quote unquote travel partner, but even then it's like, look at in the American Conference, if you're talking about all other sports, the closest team to us is what?
Tulsa?
Houston, right? Like, you know, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, all these other sports, that's a problem. Women's basketball, track, you know, what else? They do soccer, so they have a soccer, tennis, women's volleyball, you know, but they don't even have all the sports. So then you're still going to have some, you know, the men's volleyball stays where they're at, right? They do have softball, but gosh, softball, what a mess, you know? So again, like to me, the West Coast Conference, you know, unless football's involved, I don't know that there's a whole lot of incentive to move. You know what I mean? Football's king, right? And if football moves, we move. But I don't know if for the rest of the sports, if there's that big of an incentive to do it, you know, I don't know. We'll see. So, Matt, spring football, we talked about that already. Next week, we'll be back to talk more spring football. Basically, for the next month, all we're going to do is talk about spring football.
That's really all there is to talk about.
Well, no. There's one more thing. Our annual baseball preview.
Oh, yes.
Probably in 2 weeks.
Give the people what they want.
Give the 4 listeners who enjoy that what they want. So that'll be coming up in a few weeks, Matt. And we're also going to try to have some guests. We haven't done as many guests. My business, uh, My day job has been a little hard for me to work that in. And you travel a bit as well for your day job.
Yeah, there's been some things.
There've been some things. So we'll try to have some guests on, and by guests I mean people that, we've had on before, mostly. Jerem Jordan, folks like that.
Friends of the podcast.
Maybe we'll get Randy Bennett to come on. Maybe the hair, Craig Thompson. Send him an invite, Matt.
I think we've reached out to him before.
Actually, we did.
We did. Very early on, we did.
I tried to get him on the podcast, and we got, I can't remember his name, but the old West Coast Conference Commissioner came on our podcast.
I remember that.
We've had some luminaries on the podcast. But what are you going to do? Matt,
Bennett might be, actually he might be amenable to coming on.
Well,
trying to defend his actions.
Well, and we also are the experts on Hot Rock Bottom.
Hot Rock Bottom. I got Hot Rock Bottom.
So we might be able to help him. You've dealt with Hot Rock Bottom, I think, your whole life.
It's a little personal.
Well, we try to break barriers here on the
There's one thing that breaks barriers. It's discussing Hot Rock Bottom.
Hot Rock Bottom.
I get the Hot Rock Bottom.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Check out this and other great podcasts at DeseretNews.com/podcast. And by other podcasts, I mean my other podcast, Bleep the Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to this show on iTunes. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.